The last Die Hard movie.
Oh, Jack Courtney?
Yeah.
He's on Suicide Squad. He's playing Rick Flag.
Okay, yeah. I heard someone refer to him as the poor man's Tom Hardy. And I was like, okay, that's pretty rough, but okay. I could see it because they did look similar.
I got to see it too, yeah. I was hoping you'd have read DC Rebirth so that you could talk about some of the rebirthiness.
No, let's do it on another one because I want to read some of the other stuff I got. Plus, I'm going to watch this thing here that says DC Comic Rebirth, The Rundown, which apparently is everything that's going on.
Okay.
Because I read the first trade. That's the one where Wonder Woman finds out that some chick was born the same time she was, right? And
yeah, she had Darkseid's daughter was apparently born.
Okay,
yeah.
So I read the first trade all the way up to where Darkseid dies, which I didn't think he could die because she worked for the Anti-Monitor.
You talking about the new daughter they introduced of his, the Darkseid's daughter, whatever the fuck she's called?
Yeah, but who's that guy that was jumping universes? He wiped out the crime.
Yeah, there's the Anti-Monitor, sure.
Was it the Anti-Monitor? Okay, I wasn't sure. Because I always get him confused. So then, wait a minute. So in The Blackest Night, the creature that they find that the Black Lanterns are born from is the
Anti-Monitor's corpse.
So how many of these fuckers are there? Because there's a lot of
There's one Anti-Monitor. It was the corpse of the Anti-Monitor.
That created the Blackest...
Well, no, the person who created Blackest Night was Necron.
But they were powered by...
I think that they were fashioning rings or using the corpse of the Anti-Monitor in some way. I don't remember. I remember he was
in
the orbit.
So he's reborn in a different universe where he's destroying other Earths.
Okay. Well, you got to remember, too, Brightest Night was pre-New 52, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's why I can't get into DC, man.
The New 52, yeah, it's a problem.
I read all the old Batman stuff up to past the Court of Owls, and even some of the newer Batman stuff where, like, fucking Gotham is turned into a forest because...
The Year Riddler, Zero.
Yeah, and I kind of... It lost me there. It's like, this is... No, this ain't my Batman. So I dropped off and I try to pick up, like, Fryhole will say, hey, you got to read this DC book. And I'll try to read it, but it's so confusing. I feel bad. If I was going to be someone who would, like, never had picked up a DC book before and decided I'm going to try to read a DC book today, I would have no idea what the fuck I'm reading. Like, I luckily read it. I've read DC for in the past, but man, I'm just... I mean, I had to ask you, is this a New 52? Like, I have no idea what the fuck they're doing anymore. It seems like they're rebooting a reboot that was a reboot.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the problem, too, is they did that Rebirth book, the 80-page giant story.
Okay, so I'll read that.
And then they're doing individual Rebirth specials for a bunch of their major characters. Like, for instance, Batman's going to get a Rebirth, Batman Rebirth special. And then later that month, the first issue of the new Batman series starts. But now they're double shipping all their books, all their major books. So Batman is going to be in two titles a month, like two Batman books. So you've got two $3 books, and it's basically Batman's a biweekly comic now. Superman is a biweekly comic now. Wonder Woman's biweekly now.
Is this a smart idea?
That's being argued. What they're looking at is that because their market share and their dollar share has gotten so low now that the easiest way to give it a quick boost, the way that the New 52 did when it first started anyway, was that you just take the titles that sell the best and come out with them twice a month. So you're making $6 a month instead of just $4 a month.
And fucking our customers over.
Yeah, basically. That's the way a lot of people see it, because you're not going to have great consistency on creative teams. For instance, right now, you've got Wonder Woman doing... She's shipping twice a month. But you've got two different art teams. You've got Nicola Scott, who is doing a multi-issue story that's sort of like the year one story for Wonder Woman. And then you've got Liam Sharp doing the current run of the book, like the current period. And so they're alternating back and forth with the same writer, Greg Rucka. So in that instance, it kind of works because you're telling two different stories and they're just sort of running parallel to one another. So you can almost read those as two separate titles. But then some of the other books, a lot of the other books, it's just that the book's bi-weekly. They're just going to throw different artists on that book depending on what their needs are.
So then the writer's just writing a bunch of scripts and they're having two artists... Basically pump the book.
Yeah, out. To get the book out twice a month.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, like I said, a bunch of titles got whacked so they can make room to have double ships on all their better selling titles. And the assumption that they're going to make more money instead of driving off customers.
That's why I don't read DC, man.
Yeah.
Long live Marvel.
I'm very tempted to buy Wonder Woman, though, because I've seen the art for
Frank's
the first several
agenda.
Issues.
No,
not that. The Liam Sharp drawn issues, I've seen a number of those pages. They're gorgeous. It is some of the best work of Liam Sharp's career, and I think it's probably the best art to ever be featured on a Wonder Woman comic.
Ooh.
It's better than Perez.
That's a little shade on George Perez.
Yeah, I mean, I love George Perez, don't get me wrong, and I'm sure that they were... That's the only competition, though. I can put it that way.
That shade, man. You just threw some shade. You're like...
It's gorgeous, though. It's a great-looking book. And then Nicola Scott's going to be doing the other title, and she's a great artist as well. I didn't get to see her pages, though, so I can't pimp them, but the Liam Sharp stuff is gorgeous.
Okay, so go read Wonder Woman, apparently.
Here's my thing. I think that Wonder Woman's going to be, like, in the New 52, one of the big breakout hits, one of the big surprise hits was Aquaman. Aquaman outsold X-Books for months when Ivan Reis...
Oh, Hold on. Let me ask you this, and you can cut this out. So, okay, you already told me what the ending is, and I already saw the ending, where the Watchmen are being rolled into the DC universe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, spoilers for DC stuff that DC themselves spoiled. They intentionally leaked the fucking information, and then a bunch of people got indignant about journalistic integrity. And it's like, DC fucking leaked their own book to get hype. Attention. Yes. Yeah, don't fucking try to tell
me that. Okay, but my question is this now. So then, Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen universe, who is pretty much God, is now going to be running around the DC universe with Supes and Bats and Aqua and all them.
Let me tell you something, too. I'm going to tell you a story. Do you know how Vertigo Comics got destroyed?
DC bought them?
Do you remember? No, DC created Vertigo.
Oh.
It was born out of Vertigo. But do you remember when we used to all read Vertigo Comics and now nobody reads Vertigo
Comics? I mean, I used to read, you know, you would read, Constantine, or you would read... Sandman,
Preacher, Fables.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, you're right. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot Fable was there.
Yeah.
Is Fable still printing?
Nope.
What? They ended it?
They ended it.
Okay, so it's time for me to go back and reread those.
Yeah, nobody read.
Because that was a great story. Yeah.
But do you know what happened to Vertigo? Why Vertigo got destroyed? A DC editor, I don't remember if they ever said who it was, took a Warner Brothers executive out and were bragging about all the great stuff that was happening at DC Comics. And they started talking about this wonderful program they had, the Vertigo program, with all these creator-owned titles and shit. And I think that it was around the time, I think Preacher was getting optioned for a movie and stuff. And so Warner Brothers asks, you know, the executive's like, well, wait a second, how big of a piece do we have in this creator-owned book? And the DC editor was like, well, no, it's a creator-owned. You know, we just publish it. And the executive was like, why the fuck don't we have the media rights to anything published by Vertigo? We should own everything, or we should at least have a piece of everything. We're completely going to change our Vertigo contracts. And all of a sudden, nobody was wanting to set up anything at Vertigo anymore. And that's why Image started to get exploding the way that it has, because it became the destination. It used to be a lot of people would go to Vertigo because they liked Karen Berger, or they liked Karen Berger, or they liked Shelley Bond. They liked the environment. They like that they would get money up front, where Image doesn't give you any money. In fact, you have to pay the Image front office to be an Image book. You have to pay like a certain number of thousands of dollars a month to the Image office for the privilege of being published by Image. Now, the good part is they don't take any of your media rights. You 100% own your shit through Image.
But so if you create a Walking Dead, you just...
Yeah, you get to keep it all, and you're making all that money, yeah. But the problem is, if you don't have a Walking Dead, if you have the book that most everybody else has, you're going to lose money. Because you're paying the Image front office, and then you're having to pay, you know, whoever you're working with, or if you're an artist slash writer, then maybe you're paying your colorist or your letterer, or maybe you get an editor. If the writer, then you're having to pay all those fucking people, or you're going to have to split the pie with those people, and so it gets complicated. Yeah. It gets expensive because you've got to have the money to create this comic book and get it out, and then it has to make enough money to pay you back, or you're just out of pocket. So the great thing with Vertigo is you could go there, DC would front you money, they would pay you like money up front, and then you would also get your royalties and you'd still own the rights. Once that was shut down by that Warner executive, nobody set up projects at DC anymore, and all those projects went to other companies, most especially Image, especially the ones by name creators that were going to go somewhere. Because Dark Horse, I believe, gets some of your media rights too. IDW, I think, gets some of your media rights. So you give up something in most every other publisher, or you give up the visibility and prestige. Like, I don't think Fantagraphics or Drawn and Quarterly take anything from you, but you're fucking in the Fantagraphics section of the fucking previous catalog. Yeah. So you better not be doing like an action adventure series or anything, because nobody's going to buy your shit. So in the vein of that, I guarantee you what happened is somebody looked at the records and they saw, hey, we've got these Watchmen. We own these characters as long as we keep the Watchmen book in print. And we're going to keep the book in print in perpetuity, so we're always going to own these characters. Why aren't we exploiting these characters? Why aren't we making more money off this, especially once the movie had come out?
Yeah.
And that's how you get Before Watchmen. And even though Before Watchmen didn't do all that great, I'm sure that same corporate mentality is like, we need to strengthen our claim to the copyrights of all these characters. We need to make sure that it's clear that we're never, ever, ever giving these characters back. And maybe there's some kind of a deal, too, where they keep the other books that the characters appear in print. Maybe they get to keep the characters that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go ahead and incorporate them into the DC universe. They have cachet. They have a readership that would like to follow them, and it strengthens our claim to the characters so that we will never, ever give these rights back to Alan Moore and again. And it's also a nice stunt because it's something that's going to get people talking about DC Comics again. It's one of the few things, because like, they've pulled every stunt they can think of. We've got Dark Knight 3. You know, we've got the fucking Before Watchmen. They've killed, raped, blew up, whatever they've had to do to get attention at this point.
So are these characters really, are going to be present? Like, are they going to be like, oh, well, they were from Earth 7444, and now they're part of Earth 1 with Superman. And so Dr. Manhattan is like literally walking down the street.
If you pick up the book and you look at it, Batman finds the comedian's bloody button in the Batcave. And at the beginning of the book, you have a watch being constructed by Dr. Manhattan. And in the epilogue of the book, you see him on Mars, or you see the watch on Mars being played with as well. So they're making it clear that what I'm hearing is that Dr. Manhattan, during Flashpoint, Dr. Manhattan reached in and altered the DC universe. And the theory that Wally West has, because Wally West is doing the same exact fucking thing that Grant Morrison had him do in Barry Allen do in Final Crisis, where he's outside the time space continuum. He has a secret that's going to help to save the heroes from some dread occurrence that's coming out in the future. And he eventually manages to break through and come into our universe with secret knowledge that's going to, you know.
Okay.
So Wally West, the white version, is back in our universe. They make a point of explaining too that he has a cousin who's black who's also named Wally West. So, oh yeah, yeah, no, I had this cousin from this other uncle, and we were both named after the same grandfather. And it's like, oh sure, yeah, God. Okay. Because
why I don't read DC, dude.
It's so hard to find a person named Wally and to find two people named Wally, really. Yeah.
Oh, God, this is so horrible, man.
So, yeah, so what Wally is theorizing is that basically Dr. Manhattan, when he saw the Flashpoint happening, reached in and altered the universe, taking away like a decade of everybody's life, screwing with everybody's relationships in a bid to make the DC universe weaker and more cynical and more jaded and more exploitable to the mentality.
So then he's a villain.
He's functionally a villain, or at least he's an adversarial presence in the face of, and also, the other thing they make a point of mentioning too, is he's collaborating with Ozymandias.
So you have a godlike character who's a villain stepping into the DC universe, and they're going to manipulate all these heroes.
They've manipulated the entire universe. The Dr. Manhattan has cast the pal over the... Since Flashback. Or over the New 52. Also, they take the Pandora character, the character they made a point of sticking into all the New 52 books, and they didn't really know what the fuck they were going to do with her. And so her purpose changed like 15 different times over the course of the run of the New 52. They have her get exploded by Dr. Manhattan in the same way that Rorschach gets blown up in Watchmen. And it kind of the same way that Dr. Manhattan himself got blow up, where it's blue light and you see the skeleton and she's just, you know, gets exploded. So they're making it clear without outright showing the characters that the Watchmen are infecting the DC universe. And so once again, my favorite thing, we've always joked about how Geoff Johns takes all of his ideas from Alan Moore.
Yeah.
So this is the fucking final frontier. This is the last fucking DC property that Geoff Johns hasn't been able to exploit that was created by Alan Moore.
I used to respect Geoff Johns, but now I don't know, dude. I'm just like...
It's so desperate.
It's like... Man, I'm kind of speechless because like people pick on me because I'm a Marvel fan. Love Marvel. And Marvel does some stupid shit sometimes. But dude, this is like a new level. I'm speechless. I don't think I could pick up a DC book. It'd be,
Yeah, so everything they're doing just reeks of desperation. The good thing, though, the one thing I can say is, again, getting back to Liam Sharp, they've already burned out and overexploited and fucked over so many creators that they're actually reaching out to guys that have been around that are great that just hasn't worked at one of the big publishers for a while. And in the case of Wonder Woman, like I said, I think that's going to be the breakout book because it's so good looking. And I think more to the point, it feels like it's isolated. They're going to just go off and tell their Wonder Woman stories, and it's not going to be part of all this fucking dumb shit that's going on.
Kind of like Batman was for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and Aquaman too is what I think most direct parallel.
Oh my God!
But it's for instance, Superman. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they killed Superman in the comics too.
Again.
In the comics too, though. So the New 52 Superman is dead. So they're taking the Superman that was from the Convergence event. That was basically a continuation of the Dan Jurgens style Superman, the triangle number Superman. They like age him 10 years, and now he's got a son and a beard, and he's been in hiding with Lois Lane for all these years, and now he's in the DC universe, the property.
Wait. You mean like the end of Alan Moore's story, the greatest story never told?
A little like that.
Superman vanishes at the end.
A little like that.
And it's hinted that he runs away with Lois Lane to start a family?
Yeah, a little like that, yeah.
So again, at the Alan Moore.
But it wasn't Geoff Johns, though. This was...
Wait. He's the big dog over there. You got to figure, any big moves happening, he had to have something with it.
Yeah.
I don't think they came up with this on there.
Yeah. So anyway, the real Superman, the Superman from pre-Flashpoint, essentially, he's going to be the Superman in the main books now. Except they also... They had the fellow who wrote American-born Chinese. He's been writing Superman the last year or so. And they're going to give him his own Chinese Superman book. So apparently China is wanting to compete with the United States, so they've got a program where they're creating their own Chinese version of superheroes. So he's doing Chinese Superman, and they've got a Chinese Wonder Woman and a Chinese Batman. And
kind of like Marvel did with... Where they had like a Russian, the Russians had their own groups.
And yeah. Well, both companies have done that in the past. But what makes this funny is like, it's literally like the Chinese version of, and they're all based in China, and they're exact top. It's like Chinese cut rate imitations of American concepts.
I had
concepts.
So many bad jokes, dude.
It's like, I'm hoping that there's like, I think that's maybe the joke. Maybe he's doing that.
So not a Sonya, Sanyi.
Right. And like their Superman's going to be in all red and black. The Chinese Superman.
What happened to Vertigo?
He's new Superman.
They closed the doors, or
Vertigo still exists, but it's almost vestigial. You know, they still have some new projects from people, but they're not publishing any of the stuff that you remember anymore. And most of the stuff got folded back in the DC Universe. John Constantine and Swamp Thing and all those type of characters, they're all part of the DC Universe. I guarantee you at some point the Sandman properties are going to turn up too in the proper DC Universe. It'll probably end up being like Watchmen versus the Endless or some shit like that.
Because you know what, that makes sense, because I got some trades and I noticed like, okay, so Garth Ennis's run on Demon is now collected.
Mm-hmm.
They're collecting Mark Millar. Lars run on Swamp Thing,
yep.
Which for the longest time they wouldn't touch, didn't give a shit, and all of a sudden, because his name is something, they threw it out there. So I was like,
No, it's not that. Mark Miller and DC have some pretty bad blood at this point.
Oh, really?
Because he was part of that project that some editor was trying to put together, or an assistant editor, some shit like that, where the Superman titles were going to get taken over by Mark Waid, Tom Pyre, Grant Morrison, and Mark Miller. They're going to do
Millar.
The Superman. Yeah, Millar. Thank you. No, it's Miller. His name is pronounced Miller. It just spelled like Millar.
Millar.
Everybody anyway. Says Millar, so it's probably more clear that way. Anyhow, so they were going to take over the Superman books, and they were going to reboot some stuff. They were going to try to like get rid of the Superman Lois Lane marriage and shit. And apparently this got to Mike Carlin, and Mike Carlin went fucking nuts and basically banned all but one of those creators from doing any DC Comics. Or there was so much bad blood after that none of those guys will or can work at DC Comics except for Grant Morrison. So Mark Miller hasn't worked for DC in years, and for the longest time they wouldn't even reprint his stuff for the most part because they just didn't want to.
Now they're going for that cash grab.
They're going for the cash grab. Anything that they know they can put into a trade paperback and get people to buy, because nobody's buying the fucking new shit.
Yeah.
So they have to repackage their old shit from before this current era of DC Comics to make fucking money.
Because we've talked about this before, where Garth Ennis's run on the Demon I think is fantastic, and it was never collected. I thought, well, that's always strange. And then I saw it pop up in like two trades, which I will own because I want the collection, but I just thought it was really weird. Like, now they seem to be going back and they're like, well, we got these kind of hot artists that wrote some shit in the past. Let's just throw it in the trade and throw it out there.
Yeah, but this thing too is Garth Ennis is well past his glory days too.
Yeah.
They should have reprinted this stuff years ago.
True. No, I agree with you on that, because I guess because Preacher's coming out and they're
from the writer of Preacher.
Yeah, I guess the resurgence of his name, it's like, let's throw it there, because I really didn't read any of his war stuff. I'm not a big fan of his war stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he does it, and there are people who are aficionados that enjoy that kind of stuff. I'm glad for them. I don't want to read some World War I bullshit.
Yeah, I just don't particularly care for them. Wow, that's sad. Vertigo's gone, because I remember there was a lot of good stuff that came out of there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of great stuff still coming out. It's just called a Image logo on it now. The vast majority of the books I buy these days is Image Comics. You know, I buy tons of fucking Image trades these days. It's funny because we've got a Marvel podcast and I do all my DC podcasts, but in terms of what I'm actually reading, it's almost exclusively Image. I barely buy anything from Marvel or DC anymore.
Well, Marvel I still buy. I mean, I'm always going to buy Marvel. DC I haven't touched in...
Well, I don't buy Marvel because most of it's on the app and I've already paid for the app. And I haven't read any new stuff anyway, so... I was buying Hellcat and Floppy, and it wasn't really working out for me. I had to go out and find an issue that got missed, and I just wasn't enjoying it as much as I thought I was going to on a monthly basis. So I'm switching to the trades because I want to support the series. I want it to keep being made. And also, I appreciate that they spend a lot of time researching the character and going into her history and showing that she has a history to draw from.
Yeah.
And also because they did a lot of really fucking sweet variant covers on those books. And so I want them in print in the trade paperback. So I'm going to buy the trades now. Mm. But I might go ahead and buy Black Panther in trade. I haven't decided yet for sure. It seems to be doing just fine without me anyway. It made like, I think they sold like a quarter of a million copies of issue number one.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm assuming that's good for a floppy.
Yeah. Oh, that's great for a floppy.
Oh, okay.
Anything over 100 is great for a floppy. So a quarter of a million is really great. But I'm just not, most everything else I get on the Unlimited, I'm not reading it. I love having the unlimited app because I go in there and I'll find some random thing that I feel like reading at a moment's notice. But as far as keeping up with the new books, I don't. I wasn't a Marvel guy before I got the app. And hadn't been a Marvel guy in a lot of years, so I don't use the app nearly as much as I should, given that I'm buying it every month. But I want to have it there. I want to have it there at a moment's notice. So I'm going to keep on paying for it.
And insert Max little, brought to you by Marvel Unlimited. His little shticky likes thrown in there. Go and just insert it right there. We might as well promote him. Fuck it. We might get something out of it. No, I agree with you. I keep...
Why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free?
Yeah. Well, but see, and I honestly, I'll be honest with you. I would probably read DC's confusing fucking books if they had an app like that, just to see if I could keep up with it.
I would definitely buy the app. I couldn't guarantee you I'd read any of their new shit. I'd read their old shit just like I do at Marvel.
So basically, you would just give DC money just to know that you could read their shit.
Just to have access to the library, yeah, because there's stuff on there that I would love to just, like, you know, I was at this convention and I'm trying to do, like, you know, I've got the Bloodlines podcast, or I don't know if you actually know that, but I do.
No.
And so I bought two random back issues of Batman from when Azrael was in the role, the Azbat period. Yeah. I didn't like those comics when they were coming out. I don't want to buy them as a dollar back issue because I miss quarter bins like hell. I mean, I have no problems paying a quarter or even 50 cents for a comic, but once you get up to the dollar mark, I don't feel like these 90s back issues that are way oversaturated in the market are worth a dollar, even though I recognize inflation has made it to where I have to pay a dollar for this shit.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pay a dollar to read a ballistic two-part appearance in a Batman comic book. I want to go on an app and just read that shit. DC's not making any fucking money off of it when I buy it off of some retailer who isn't even keeping track of what books I'm selling anyway, because he's got fucking box and box of shit that he's just blowing out. As long as he gets his dollar, he's happy. He's not going to go out and buy some more DC books specifically. So DC's getting no fucking benefit from that. But if I had the app, I could pay them. I guarantee you 90s Batman comics would be all over a DC app. So I just go read that. And I'd be happy to give DC my money. But since they don't have it, I'm not going to give them $2 for a digital copy when I can get the physical copy for a buck. And I don't want to even buy it for a buck.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So are we done talking about DC?
I would say yes.
Okay.
DC's special number 2, Facebook likes from Joe Crawford and Max Romero. Additional sweet motherfucking social media loving from Adam Black Moon, Onge, Anne Labs, Coffee and Comics Blog, Count Druncula, Darren and Ruth Sutherland, Dead as Hell, Dr. G, Nerdologist, Firestorm Fan, Joseph Crawford, Keith G. Baker, Let's Talk Shazam, Luke Dub Walker, Michael Bailey, Professor Riptide, Robel at Speculum Fight, Stellar at Batgirl to Oracle, Sinat alias Scarecrow, and Trekker Talk Podcast. Dead as Hell tweeted, "What is this hashtag Berlantiverse? Too dangerous for a girl," added, "Oh, this will be fun." Finally, Michael Bailey had fun with URL abbreviations on his phone, but you'll have to check that image out on the blog. Now come on, come on, do the loco motion with me. You gotta swing your hips now. Come on, baby, jump up, hum, jump back. Oh, well, I think you got the knack. There's never been a dance that's so easy to do. It even makes you happy when you're feeling blue. So come on, come on, do the loco motion with me.
The preceding program is a nonprofit fan production. Any copyrighted materials contained therein are believed borrowed under fair use with no copyright infringement intended. Please feel free to leave comments at the Rolled Spine Productions WordPress blog. You can also send us Twitter comments through the Rolled Spine Podcast Twitter. Thank you for listening.